Hey, what's up to the point, listeners? Listen up to the point. You like my joke? That was like a tall Paul joke. I apologize for wasting your time. Seriously, happy holidays from all of us over here to the point. Myself, tall Paul, the Jeff producer, Ryan, and Chelsea. We are so grateful that you tune in every single week. Thank you so much. My next favorite holiday would be Rhino X 2022, February 10th here in Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to allow 50 attendees this year. It is going to be a super intimate event. 10 VIP tickets to be available to go see and hang out and talk and strategize in a boardroom setting, and also a banger event in the evening with Mr. Ken Goodrich, Leland Smith, Dave Geiger, Terry Nicholson. Oh, and by the way, you ever heard of Mike Tyson? He's going to be here too. And another surprise headline speaker that will be announced later. Listen, lastly, this is a season of thanks and giving, and we encourage you to give back, especially during these holiday seasons. So many kids go without during this season, and you can step up and help them out. Now enjoy another banger episode of your boys on To The Point.
This is To The Point. A Rhino experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what is up To The Point, listeners? It is your boy, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast, Chris Yon, along with my co-host, Mr. Tall Paul. Hey, Tall Paul, dude, where'd the stash go, bro? You used to have
One, thank you for noticing.
Where'd you stash the stash,
It
man?
Lasted 8 days. And it had to go, man. I reached that threshold where you turn the corner, look in the mirror, and you kind of hate yourself. and I crossed that threshold. But more importantly, by the time this will have aired, your, is it 9-1 Arizona Cardinals will have played my 4-5 Carolina Panthers. I want to make a prediction on air, and it'll be after the game. The Cardinals are going to win, but you will not score more than 20 points.
Okay. I will not score defense more than 20 good. Points. Well, I will say this, the Cardinals, I agree, will beat the Carolina Panthers. We played poorly at home. I was about to bet you, but I'm not going to, I don't never know. Listen, when you're a Cardinals fan, nothing ever feels comfortable. You never know what's going to happen next, but we're the best team in the NFL. Just so
I'll never forget the look on your face on, was it Thursday or Monday Night Football in the defeat of Green Bay?
Oh, that's great, man. That's really great. That's bring that back.
That's the downside of your seats being where you are, is we can all watch the misery or agony at times or joy as you're having this year. Yeah. So it's been a lot better. Fun to watch your team.
Can I get in? This is Tom Howard. Can I get in on the over-under on this?
Hey, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Cardinals go over 20 points.
You think the Cardinals go over 20 points?
I think so.
Oh, God, it's a home game, man. We've been playing terrible at home. However, we were winning by a lot. So I don't know, but we just still had plenty of points. I don't know. I hate betting.
We may not
team.
Get in the end zone. We will. It'll be 19-6.
Actually, you might because Sam Darnold's out.
You're right. All right.
Let's get into it. Well, hey, listen, listeners. We have. Well, if you didn't hear, we have Mr. Tom Howard back on. My buddy. Hey, Tom was out here in Phoenix, man. We got to hang out a little bit last week over at Tommy Mello's first event, Vertical Track, nice. Which was a pretty cool deal. So it was good to be able to hang out a little bit. Talk a little shop, love which it. Was cool. Some of it I loved, some of it I didn't love. We'll leave that. Those that are listening know, will know. But it was good to see you, man. I'm glad we actually finally got to hang out a little bit. And I thought it was cool. I thought the event was a total success for Tommy. I was really happy to see him put that together and really proud of him as my friend, for him to be able to pull that off and do something amazing for his industry. So I thought that was cool. But it was good to see you and actually kind of everybody else that was flying in town. It's always nice when I got to fly somewhere to see everybody. I just had to drive 30 minutes and go see everybody. But something that came up when we were in some of the Facebook groups was people were asking about just different updates, you know, with ServiceTitan and things like that, that were coming out, and it came up and I was like, you know what, maybe we should have Tom come back on and just maybe share some of the things, because it's such an important piece to business. And this isn't necessarily, like we talked about pre-podcast, doesn't necessarily need to be like this big ServiceTitan podcast, but it is like things that I think that you should expect as a, you know, in the home services industry when using your field management software, that should be available to you to use to be, you know, to make sure the business is running as efficiently as possible, as profitably as possible, and able to track all the things for you. So I certainly feel like this is a an episode that was worth having, which is why you're here. And I want to give a quick shout out though too, that I got the today at the exact same time, you know, on Toolbox for the Trades is my podcast on Service Titan, and it's the 6 P's to please the prospects.
Wow.
The 6 P's to please the prospects.
Is pie
That's in a tongue
there?
Twister if I ever heard one.
Is Paul in there?
Paul actually is in there. That's a different P. but the last P, well, that's not that simple.
There you go. Hey, you know what? Sometimes you just throw a pass off to left and someone picks up. That was amazing. You caught your own, you caught your own assist and dunked it there.
So a quick shout out to Jackie Yay, Toolbox of the Trades. Go check it out. Paul, listen, well, first off, Tom, welcome back. And you know, for maybe who are listening for the first time, you know, Tom is a vice president of customer experience at Service Titan, amongst other things that I'm sure he'll be able to talk about. He's involved talents. In a few companies here and there, maybe Lee's, maybe some others. We'll leave that up. Leave that out there. Even, I heard he at one point in time he was in a concrete business. That's weird. See, I was asking about that on the side. He'd love to talk about it. But Paul, why don't you go? Well, first off, Tom, welcome back to the show. Paul is going to kick us off and tee up kind of from the first time we did our episode into this one. So Paul, Tom, this is your time to shine. Great. Take it away.
Great. Well, let me tee this up for our listeners. We brought Tom on. Chris and I had not met Tom, so we brought him on because some of our listeners had said, this is the financial guy. You got to bring this guy on. So we brought him on with the objective of asking a bunch of questions about EBITDA and making more money and making profit and systems and all these sort of things. But immediately we were taken on this journey of his story, which is a very unusual story that if you don't know, please stop now, go back to episode 70 and get to know Tom. So he'll take you through the journey. He'll give you some nuggets on profitability. But toward the end of our conversation, he kind of projected a little bit about the future of the industry and what was coming and technology. And if I recall, you were talking about, you know, technicians and AI and all sorts of technology that you get to see on the front ends of your position at Service Titan, among other things. So what I wanted to do is just kind of pick up that conversation where we left off last time and kind of find out what you're up to, but then talk about some other things related to technology that are coming down the pipe from your seat where you are now. So what are you up to these days, Tom?
Well, you know, the funny thing is I'd like to point out that on episode 70, when you filmed it, I was literally in a village in Armenia. So when you say like weird circumstances, that was probably the weirdest podcast I've ever done. I was just trying to hold the, you know, internet connection long enough to get through that one.
I totally forgot that's where you were. That's right.
Yeah, it was interesting. I did two speaking events from Armenia. One was in like a tiny village with literally, it was raining and barely any internet connection, but there's long stories there. But yeah, they say, you know, first and foremost, VP of customer experience and service. And I have to say, I like to say first and foremost, I'm a business owner, contractor, that happens to have a side gig at Service Titan that is like 60 hours a week.
And, and the best laugh in the business. I forgot to tee that
sure.
up.
Best laugh in
Listening
the business.
To you laugh is my favorite thing. So carry on.
You guys, and you know what? I heard your episode with Colin Hathaway and you asked like, is there anyone you'd recommend being on the episode? And he recommended Tom Howard and you guys started making fun of my laugh. I had to send it to all the executives at Service Titan because they all like,
I nailed it in that podcast.
Yeah, you did. I was listening to the podcast to Colin Hathaway. His story is amazing, by the way.
Awesome.
I mean, he's literally, we look at the Wrench Group now and how big it is. Like back at the time he was putting companies together, they ended up selling it to what is now the Wrench Group. And
right.
Hearing how he pulled that off and like how he was like 36 years old and had a heart attack. And all this, I was just, Colin's a good friend of mine, but yeah, the laugh was funny. I was like, honey, you gotta listen to this. I turn on, she starts busting up laughing. She's like, he nailed it. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, I work in the morning, 6 a.m. to about 8 or 9 a.m. on my businesses. I do all my Zoom meetings and my stuff. And then after 8 or 9 a.m., I work on Service Titan until however late until I go to bed. And yeah, it's been a wild ride for the past 2 years trying to do all those at once. But just a short one for those that don't go to episode 70, I own Lee's Air Conditioning out of Fresno. We're about 115 employees, about $24 million annual revenue. I own all of that. And then a partner in Brody Pinnell out of Beverly Hills. That should be about $12 million in revenue this year. Then I have a company in Sacramento, California, also branded as Lee's. and does a couple million. And then one in Vegas now, which looks like we're going to do about 13 million this coming year. I'm really stoked about that. And yeah. And then a pest control company and some other weird stuff. The funny thing is I get to talk about these, like I'm this great business owner, but no one knows they're all in various stages of disrepair at any given time.
Hey, you know what? Your GM has been on this for, and Brody Pinnell, I'm pretty sure he's your GM. Is it? Is Lawrence?
Lawrence Castillo. Yeah,
he was on one of our podcasts.
Like, yeah, he knows. He's an OG in this industry. He knows a lot of people from back in the day.
He actually is like, he reaches out to us quite a bit. Like he's a little, he's listening. So shout out to you, Lawrence. He actually responds like quite a bit to stuff. Seems like a pretty decent dude.
I think he's the one that sent the one about Colin to me because I hadn't heard it. He pretty loyal listener there. Really well connected in the industry too and doing a great job. He's making it happen. He's he doubled the revenue, but more than doubled the profit this year, which is great. And
well done
in Beverly Hills. So
well done.
Totally stoked.
Various stages of disrepair. What a great topic. Like we'll try to keep it going so we can use that as the title for this one.
Yeah. Just like Tommy Mello tells me, Tom, focus on the profit, not on the revenue. And you notice I just list off the revenue. No, they're all making money, which is great. It's just like, you know, you feel like you're spinning plates in the air and trying to keep them all going all at once. And not get fired at service time at the same time, which is difficult. So, you know, you gotta keep everything going. And I just feel like in business, sometimes if you neglect them all equally, you're doing a pretty good job. Like if one of them thinks you're there enough, then you're probably not doing your job right.
Is that like parenting?
This is great.
So yeah. As far as tech goes in this industry, and I don't want to make this whole podcast about server side stuff, make it advertorial, because that would suck for everybody. I can't tell you things that are coming down the pike. We've got a webinar actually happening tomorrow. So it'll be after this podcast. So I can talk about anything that's happening in that webinar. But as we talked about before, we think that artificial intelligence, machine learning is the future of this industry. We have a lot of people talking about machine learning, artificial intelligence, but I don't think they know what that really means.
Right.
You know, when it comes to things like, we do have a product like called Smart Dispatch that we launched over 3 years ago. Actually almost 4 years ago now at Pantheon. And we told everybody about it. Everyone got really excited and it would automatically dispatch your calls for you based on what came in. The thing is that when you're doing that though, there's a few things that happen. If you've truly got machine learning and artificial intelligence, it's using data to make decisions. And the more data you have, the smarter it gets. And the cool thing about true machine learning is that the machine starts making decisions and you don't know why it made those decisions because you didn't program it to do that. It actually takes a mind of its own. That's true machine learning. If you don't have that and you don't have the data to do that, you don't really have machine learning. You're basically setting up what's called a heuristic model, which means you've set up rules and told it, do this when this happens, do that when that happens. The problem is we launched Smart Dispatch and the machine starts getting smart and it starts dispatching in ways that you don't expect. And then our customers immediately said, hey, why is it doing that? Well, the problem is once it's truly smart and has artificial intelligence, you don't know. And we can't tell you why, but it's made a decision on why this is the best technician to go to that job. So we're running into a lot of things like, how do we handle this? How do we explain it to customers? How do we do whatever? Especially as you collect more data, it keeps getting smarter and smarter and smarter, making different decisions than it did before, which is nuts. We're gonna go ahead and release it to the general public in the next few months. We already have anyone that wants to be on it can ask for it right now. We actually have had people on it for over 3 years collecting data. We have over 1,000 technicians running on this. And it's pretty heavy and pretty cool to have. We've had a few companies with hundreds of technicians that have been on for several years now. So as we go down the artificial intelligence side, like that's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. We actually are building these models into a lot of things within ServiceTitan. I think, I don't know if I mentioned on the last podcast, but I work with a data science team and artificial intelligence team in Armenia. That's the primary reason I was in Armenia last time. And the projects they work on are kind of crazy. We have people that, you know, every company marks its jobs differently in ServiceTitan or in any dispatch software. They mark them different types of business units, whatever you name your business units. Well, for us, what we'd really like to have is great data on, let's say, plumbing calls or air conditioning calls. We'd like to know if it's service, maintenance, or install or whatever, right? Well, the problem is it's really hard to tell. Some people just put all their jobs under one business unit, so you can't tell what it is, you know? That team actually built a machine that's smart and reads your invoices and can tell with way over 97% accuracy if it's a maintenance, service, or install call. It can tell if it's air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, garage door, water treatment, pest control. It can actually, and it gets smarter as it goes, tell what it is and classify it. Now you would think, why is that a big deal for the customer? Why does that matter? Well, the reality is that as ServiceNet has the data on that now, and we've released the algorithm, I think it was about 9 months ago, just running this thing. And so we can correctly classify all these jobs. Well, what we start to learn is like, okay, a typical plumbing call should have this on it. A typical air conditioning call should have that on it. I can start comparing company data from one company to another. I can tell one company, hey, this is what we recommend you do in order to increase profits. I can tell them, hey, this is your company versus other companies. Now, I can't show you other companies' data, but we can show you metadata. This is where you stack up against other people in your industry. People say, oh, I'm different because I've got 22% commercial and I'm 78% residential and I'm different than the guy that does XYZ. It's like, guess what? We already know.
Right.
We already know how much is commercial. And by the way, that's another algorithm that we built. We can tell if you're commercial, residential, every single job, even if you don't market in any way, shape, or form. Crazy. We purchased property data across the US so we can actually see all kinds of stuff about the property. And we've given that data to our users so you can see it on there. And we really think big data is what's going to change everything for the trades. It's going to empower contractors. Really what we know and believe is that, you know, there's a lot of big threats to contractors out there. People are worried about the Uber of contracting coming out. They're worried about Amazons and Googles and whatever, Yelp. Now, we don't have anything against those companies, but what we do have is a desire and a need to make sure contractors are taken care of and that contractors can compete. And so if we can build those algorithms and put them in the hands of the contractors, if we can tell them, hey, this is where we recommend you go, here's, you know, markets that are underserved, here's whatever, they can really start making a win. Service Titan doesn't have any intent or desire to get into contracting. We have no desire to become contractors, you know, and make our own contracting business to compete with contractors. It kills our valuation. It kills whatever. It's just not what we want. What we want to do is we want to make sure that we give the tools to contractors. We don't want to be the, you know, home services provider. We want to be the tool that home services providers use to get there. And we want to have the best tool out there and make sure that they have everything they need to go fight. So that's really where we see things going. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense. Yeah. Thank you. I want you to go a little bit deeper on threats. You kind of mentioned some of the, you know, normal threats that are out there, the Amazonization or Uberization or whatever, but talk about some specific threats that are headed, toward contractors over the next 2 to 3 years that may relate to big data or just outside tech. Like what's going on in that space?
Yeah. You know, I heard a story, so I didn't, and I'll call out, Victor Rancor put on an event in Vegas a little while ago, and I was really proud of him for something he did there. And it got kind of hairy, but they brought on a sponsor, so to speak, and they gave a speech, and it was I don't want to use the name of them, but they
rhymes
it
with,
was
rhymes what? With rhymes
it's
with.
On the agenda, right?
No, yeah, it's kidding. Play backwards. So anyway, they got up and talked about contractor ratings, and they said, oh man, we're gonna start releasing to homeowners, and they were advertising to contractors as if it was a good thing. We're gonna start advertising to homeowners that, you know, how much jobs are worth. And it's like, why would you ever do that? we don't want you to do that. And I was, you know, Victor and Ishmael were just kind of frustrated, like, guys, you can't do that. It's not. And this is nothing against that rating agency. I think they just didn't understand contractors. Hopefully they're going to pivot and not go down that direction. I don't want to mess up a relationship with them or anything. I happen to use that particular company a lot, just and I pay them a lot of money in ad spend, but I don't want them telling my contractor what they should be spending, or my customer what they should be spending with me.
Sure.
These kind of threats happen all the time. And when they start deciding how much jobs should be and which contractors should go and should not, and they start, regulating things, which is basically what happens there, it becomes a serious problem for contractors. It becomes a cheapest price wins game. And we don't want that.
Yep, race to the bottom.
Yeah. And quite frankly, this is not just idealism. ServiceTitan doesn't want that to happen because quite frankly, we know that if you're going to use ServiceTitan and be the best of the best, you've got to have the best tools and you've got to be able to charge the best prices. And best prices doesn't mean the lowest. In fact, quite the opposite. We want you to be able to provide the most value for your customer and be able to provide prices that basically allow you to feed your families and have good, retirement packages and have the best benefits and everything else. We don't want any of that, those other threats to be able to come in. And quite frankly, if someone doesn't stand up that has the funding and the ability and the brain power to fight, it's going to be a problem. So I think we've got to step in there and make it happen.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp, deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Hey, to be a little dramatic, maybe go in the weeds a little bit. So this vendor shares this point of view with the group, and then Victor and Ishmael come together to kind of like reverse what the vendor said and kind of put them in their spot in front of the audience.
They did. They said, "You guys are nuts. Like, I can't believe you." Like, they went off on it. And the two of them teamed up, which who knows? I mean, Victor and Ishmael have been fighting for years, right? Like, and so the two of them to be, I think that's what we have to do in this industry is we have to unite each other, right? Mm-hmm. And stand up and say, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. Like, and make a stand together and say, look, this is where we need to go. Because if we get divided and start fighting over with each other over stupid, petty things and don't really like focus on what is best in the end, which is creating a service industry in the United States that people can be proud of, that students want to, get into,
be a part of.
People talk about, oh my gosh, we have a shortage of technicians in the trades and we just need to make more tech schools. I got news for you. We got tons of tech schools. They're half empty. My former business partner is a teacher in one of them, can't fill his class. We have enough tech schools. The reality is no one wants to be a plumber. No one wants to be an air conditioning guy, like electrician. Let's do something to show that we're professionals, that we can compete, that you can make good wages in this industry, that and show not only each other, but the country in general, outside of this country, like it should be respectable. If we do that, you're going to have people knocking on the door. Guess what? We don't have a shortage of attorneys in the US. And it ain't because we have a bunch of law schools, because everybody wants to be an attorney, right? Like, let's make it so people actually want to get our industry. Let's unite together to do that. And let's make sure that we have the resources to make sure that other people that aren't from our industry can't come in and start regulating it and pushing it down and fighting with us all the time and saying, okay, I'm not talking about government regulations. Sure, everybody has their opinions there, but I'm talking about regulations when it comes to other people from outside of our industry determining our prices, when we can show up to jobs, how we can advertise, everything else. It's just, we've got to be able to get there. We've got to have the tools to do it.
Let's go ahead and hit the showers, guys. Great game. Let's close it up. Get on the road.
I felt like I just watched Jordan Belfort give a speech to his group at Wolf of Wall Street, except none of the like, maybe a few less cuss words.
You just halftime speeched us, and that was wonderful.
That was solid,
thank
man.
You. Yeah. So I took you down in the weeds. Now I'm going to go super macro. And I understand a couple things. One is I didn't intend for this to be a 100% Service Titan podcast. So don't let me go down that path, but I'm prepared to take it there. I also understand that, this is your company and there's certain information you can and can't share. So if I ask anything that's off limits, please put me in my place.
Or just answer.
Before attorneys do. Service Titan earlier this year had a $500 million investment. Now, some people might be hearing that for the first time. Some people may be hearing that and really have no frame of reference to what that means, right, the significance of it, or the context as it relates to the SaaS business, the SaaS world in general. So
SaaS meaning software as a service, listeners.
There you go. Thank you. So explain to me the significance of the investment and then talk about what you guys are going to do with it.
Awesome. So I can tell you, every 500 million helps. It really starts to add up.
I'd imagine.
Yeah. Do a little. Where'd that come from, Chris? Who was the guest who, that was Terry, was it Terry Nicholson? Terry Nicholson. That's every right. 500 million helps.
Every 500 million helps.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I got to tell you, you got to have, I can't tell you, I don't want to get myself in trouble with legal here. So I have to be very careful on these things, but I can tell you that when you raise money like that, it is very significant. I don't know how else to tell you, but 500 million, no matter how you look at that, is a big deal. And what happens is we want to use that to try to make the best features and benefits that we can, because as contractors know, there's so many things that we as contractors want in a software that quite frankly don't even exist right now in any software. There's just stuff out there that just, we wish we had, and we've got to spend money in order to build those things. And it is amazing as you get bigger. We had someone asking the other day about automatically sending out invoices to customers at the end of a job, which they said, why can't you just make it default to auto send it? And we can, and we're actually releasing that pretty soon. And I just thought, well, why do you need a release? It's like one line of code, automatically send invoice. And I think, well, think about this. And this is before I got to server side, and I would have said the same thing, but here's the reality of the situation. If we make that checkbox, which we could, and now you go out on a job and you've got, let's say it's a landlord-tenant situation, and you don't want that invoice going to the tenant or the tenant seeing it because the landlord demanded that you don't, but we just had a checkbox that says it's either on or it's not, and it gets sent to the tenant, and now you get a freaked out landlord calling at the end of the day, yelling and screaming at you because you sent it to the tenant. Well, now what's going to go? What's going to happen? You're mad. Oh, what about the commercial one? First time when Service Titan is 5 years ago, came out with text alerts to notify the homeowner when you're on the way and when you're arriving. Well, I want that. Heck yeah, I want that. I want customer communications. Well, I turned it on, and we have a health club that had 74 locations in California. And I had 14 service calls that day at different locations. The CEO of the company had his name and phone number on my customer screen as one of the contacts. The CEO of the company got 14 text messages that day and lit me up. And luckily, Service Titan thought of this ahead of time and made settings so I could turn it off for different job types or for certain business units or certain customers. So of course, we're scrambling trying to turn this thing off, something we had turned on. Now, same thing with this automated invoicing system. It's that's great. We can automatically turn it on, but what we've got to do is keep in mind, we have 5,000 customers. We have contractors all over the country with different business models. Okay. And you've got to make sure that you have a settings page where you can say, hey, I've got landlord tenant situations. Maybe I want it to turn off on the customer page. Maybe I want to turn off on the job page for a specific job because something special is going on. Maybe I want to turn it on and off for different business units, job types, whatever. We have to have all those settings available. Now people say, well, simpler is better. Make it simple. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not. Trust me. You have jobs that you don't want these to go out to. Now, this is a tiny, tiny little feature that you would think would take 5 minutes, 5 minutes to program. No, we have to make sure every opportunity is there so the business owner can run their business the way they want to run it and have controls on all their stuff. So it's going to take a while to make sure that this is right before it gets released. So when we get something $500 million, whatever the investment is, when we get that money, we have to make sure we deploy it in ways to build things for contractors that people can use. And even then, after all that testing, all those ideas put forth, by the way, these are all ideas on that one little automatically send the invoice thing that had to be thought of before we did it. It's easy to make a product that's really like, you know, snappy and you can get it out there and like just send it to a few people, but you only have 2, 3, 4 people using it. Okay. But then you add another client that needs it a different way. Now you've got to keep developing. Those development dollars add up. When you have 5,500 of them, we got to make sure that we build stuff that's really solid that anyone can use and they can put it in there. So yes, 500 million is a lot of money, but we will deploy that and make sure that we continue to develop into the future. We want to make sure that we are, you know, the most stable and well-funded company that can keep developing everything that needs to be done and it's going to handle the stuff coming down the pipe.
Hey, real quick, I'll interject before you go down that path, Paul, whatever you're going to ask next. But Tom, I think I can't remember if we talked about this or not, but I've been flirting with the roofing industry. I don't think it's any secret at this point in time, mainly because Geiger's bought into it and kind of pulled me into it a little bit. And now I'm kind of went down this roofing path. I only say that to say, as I went to some of these conferences, I got to speak in them. I seen kind of their like leading field management software companies. And it's not even close. Like the sophistication is not, I'm not saying that there's some differences. Like, I mean, even from ServiceTitan versus like some of their other big companies, I don't want to throw out any names, but anybody in the industry knows who pretty much they are in the roofing space, but it is like cumbersome, still jinky, nowhere even near what ServiceTitan is. And so it's weird for me when I go and I don't, and it's like, it's hard for me to make a suggestion on any of them. So I don't. I haven't even tried to attempt, you know, a relationship, at least with ServiceTitan. You know, I have enough customers that use it, so many that use it, and I've been able to meet Vahe and you and like some of the guys that I feel like I'm kind of in a little bit and kind of like we all have a lot of crossover, but I also believe in it. You know what I mean? Like I legit believe in it and I'm struggling, man. Like, so I can only imagine that if ServiceTitan really wanted to own that piece too, it would be really easy. It would be really easy for them to come into that space and own it.
The funny thing is when we go into a space is that, you know, it costs us money to implement software. It costs us time. It costs us energy. It costs the contractor even more, right? And it's not just, we want to make sure that we give it to people that it's going to be effective for and make money, not just because it's idealistic, but also because they lose, we lose, everybody loses if it doesn't work out for them. Right. We have an extremely low churn rate, meaning amount of people that leave. Yep. The lowest I personally have ever heard of in SaaS. And I've probably seen the churn rates for 15 or 20 companies in this industry. Bottom line is that we want to make sure that we're going to provide for them. So roofing is one of them that we've kind of looked at. Also, you know, but I got to say, we get surprised sometimes. Tommy Mello at A1 Garage Door, we wouldn't sell to him.
Right.
And he got frustrated, called up Ara Medesian and said, look, you have to give me this. I have to have it. He sends Ara an email. He still has the email he sent to Ara, the CEO and founder of ServiceTitan, saying, you got to give it to me. Ara's like, okay, fine. You know, this guy, he's in garage doors. It's never going to work for him because garage doors are such a small average ticket and they, you know, they're not that complex and the industry hasn't gotten there yet. Tommy Mello goes and goes from like 5 million sales to he's clearing 75 million. He's got like his earnings percentages are sky high.
Right.
I'm on the board there. I don't want to talk too much about it because I've got NDAs signed, but his growth rate, by the way, if he would have been over 100% growth rate this year, he's more like 80%. But he has $10 million of doors that he's waiting on coming in due to COVID. They can't deliver them. He's got installers, everything waiting, signed contracts, and he's just waiting for them to show up.
Love to hear him tell that to the board, by the way. I can just see him in front of the room being, you know, with all in his flip flops and pink shorts explaining that everything's stuck on a boat in Long Beach.
he loses his mind over it. I get phone calls from him at 11 o'clock at night, frustrated, you know, just like, he's always got the new idea though on how he's going to fix it. That's the cool thing is he's found his way around. I mean, who would have thought one company is going to go past $75 million in garage doors, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, I just, whatever.
Yeah, but that's unbelievable. That's actually a really good example of too. And I understand all that too. And I'm going to make one like small comparison to this too. You know, we had built our own CRM here at Rhino forever. Like we have our own developers in-house, and we had our own kind of CRM that worked for us, because in the beginning we were like a ServiceTitan had so many tools. Salesforce had so many tools as a CRM for us that what we needed from it versus what we were paying for, it didn't make sense early on. At least I couldn't make sense of it with what I knew. I've just onboarded it. You know, we onboarded it, and Paul got the luxury of going through that process. And it is long, it's tough, it's hard, but it's absolutely necessary. But what I think is easily missed, like you had mentioned, you have a really small turnover rate, and I'll bet you it's probably even smaller, because there's some people who run into, and you obviously know more than me, but we'll run into the cost of it being expensive, but it's not because of the software not being worth it. It's because the business isn't functioning right still, even with it. And they, for whatever reason, can't afford to keep doing it on no fault of ServiceTitan. So that's attributed to it. But like with the reason I'm going in down this path is that you have to do it. You just got to find the best one to fit your business. But what you think you know about the software, you probably have no idea all the things it has to offer for you. So you just got to go all in on it to be able to use it to the best, for everything that it's worth, to make you as efficient as possible.
Well, and that one is like, I want to do point out, like, ServiceTitan has a lot of things we need to fix. One is that the onboarding process, needs to be faster. We just tested a few pilots over the past couple of months, getting the onboarding process down to 2 weeks, which is crazy to think about what it was before when it was taking 2 months.
2 months, right.
We have 11 companies this week going live on a 2 week model. Oh, no, I think it's 9 companies, sorry, that we're testing in a pilot.
My gosh, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
That is insane.
You're going live in a couple of days, and then we're actually handholding you for the next week and a half and making sure you have everything you need the whole way through. And so, hey, you want to book a call together? You want to export your invoices to QuickBooks? You want to do whatever? We're just going to sit here with you on Zoom and make sure that like it's going through and walk you pace by pace. And you're doing it in a group of 5 companies together. So you're helping each other all the way through. After that, you're moving on to a sessions we call Ember sessions, which it's, you meet with that same team after you've gone through that 2 weeks, every week, for 5 weeks to build up your, how much you utilize it. And then after that, you're switching over to what we call Spark sessions, which is you keep your same group of contractors. You've been through, hell and back together. You go through COVID together, you go through whatever you went through, and you're staying with them and helping each other out and grow. It's working really well. We've been testing it for a few months now. We might be rolling that out pretty soon. But we've got to get those things faster. We've also got to make it so more people can use it and know what they're using. I want to point out there in this is like, as we make that simpler, we can go into other verticals and make it make sense for them and us, whether it be roofing or whether it be whatever other vertical is potentially out there. I'm not saying we're going to roofing or not yet. I can tell you that it's public. We've made large investments. We bought one of the largest pest control softwares in the country. We purchased a really amazing lawn care company. These are Service Pro and Aspire. And, we've got some awesome things coming down the pipe that we have, announced publicly. The cool thing is as we build for those verticals, it helps the core verticals like air conditioning, plumbing, electrical. For instance, when we book on pest control really likes to have bulk routing done, where you can book 5 or 6 technicians all at once for 3-4 days on maintenance agreements. Well, great. We had to build it for pest control. So now it works out for air conditioning and plumbing, especially air conditioning where you got a bunch of maintenance agreements. So
right. Yeah.
It allows us to do things like look at garage door. Now we got a lot of great companies on there. We got Precision Door is, one of those star pieces that we love to have. We never would have gotten if it wasn't for somebody getting in there and us figuring out that industry. We've got, Overhead Door talking to us now. We got a lot of cool companies coming around, and we got hundreds of smaller one-man contractors or the contractors that went and said, look, I'm going to make a business for myself. I'm going to make it happen. And only had 2, 3, 4 technicians and like got on ServiceTitan. So we really see that as something that can, help us grow in the future.
Hey, Tom, if you guys decide to go down that roofing path, you need to call your boy.
Okay. I'll call you.
I'll give you a nice little bump start.
Okay.
I have so many questions. All right. I'm going to go into rapid fire questions now, because there's so many things I want to find out before we let you go here, unless you're just good to stay.
Sorry
on.
Sorry for derailing you, TP.
No, you're fine. You're fine. We're going to go back into kind of the tactful stuff real quick. What is an underutilized feature that your customers could apply if they're listening to this and they're a certain ServiceTitan customer? What's an underutilized feature that they could apply that will have an impact on their business?
The number one thing I tell everyone, and this is another thing that ServiceTitan needed to do a long time ago, and they built it, they called it Titan Score. Now it's called Titan Advisor. Yep. If you haven't gone to Titan Advisor, you have to. It's a little rocket in the upper right-hand corner. If it's not in the upper right-hand corner of your screen, it means either you're not an admin or you didn't enable it in your settings page saying allow to have Titan Advisor for that client. Anyone who's an admin in ServiceTitan will have availability. Little rocket, upper right-hand corner. Click on that rocket. I can't tell you how many times someone's called me up and says, I don't know what's available in ServiceTitan. And then I go, I log in their account with them. I click on the little rocket thing and it opens up, says, welcome to Titan Advisor. How would you like to get started? I'm like, oh, crap. What's in Titan Advisor, it's actually an advisor that asks you what your top goals are for your business. Now, the thing is, ServiceTitan does need to be easier to use, right? So we're doing things to try to make it simpler and simpler over time. As far as like knowing where to go, it's got to be complex in the sense it's got to have all these settings and all this configuration that you can do. But we want to make it easy for you to know what's available. So in Titan Advisor, it asks you your goals and it allows you to drag and drop four goals and stack rank them. Do you want to drive revenue? Do you want to increase efficiency? Do you want to add customer delight? You know, it does all these things. And you put the one at the top and then it looks through all the features you've enabled in ServiceTitan and the ones that you have not. And it stack ranks the top ones and says, if you want to increase revenue, here's the next four most important things you got to implement. And it's got red and yellow and green dots. This thing is nuts, by the way. It knows all kinds of stuff. I was like, people offering multiple options in ServiceTitan. If I just say, so first of all, I say Titan Advisor number one thing is going to tell you all the things that you need to use. Something past that, estimate templates is a big deal, and forms. You need automated forms that are customizable to your business that you can force somebody to fill out while they're on a job. Make sure you're doing that. The other thing is estimate templates. A lot of people don't build these. You build your price book, you get all the prices in there. But let's say I go out and I've got a typical toilet replacement. I want my people offering at least three options, hopefully six, right? But they don't want to sit there and add things together and type out a summary and all that other stuff. You can pre-build. Now, the old estimate templates and ServiceTitan were garbage. They're basic things. I mean, they're cool because 5 years ago, 6 years ago in tech space, like that's what was available. But now it's like, it needs to be better. ServiceTitan's upgraded their estimate templates. So now when you go into your site, you can type in, or your price book, you can create templates and much easier to update and everything else. Anyway, when you go in there, you can pre-build all these templates. So if I have like a toilet replacement, I can give automatically have three or four or five or six options or however many options you want. I can name them different things. Make sure you preset them up. So when your people are going out there and presenting, by the way, they're like, oh, my technicians or my plumbers would never use it. Well, yeah, they will. And the reason is because they always follow the path of least resistance. They're gonna do whatever's easiest. And if a template is right there, you're like, okay, create an estimate and it has a list of templates, or you can build your own. They would much rather just click a button and have template and just walk away.
100%,
right? Like it's always going to happen. So they're going to click it and present options to the customer. Well, Titan Advisor actually gives you information in there. If you go to offering multiple options to your customers, it'll tell you what percentage of your technicians and what percentage of time they're offering multiple options to the customer. It actually checks how often do they hit the present button? Because a lot of them like to go in there and just say, oh, this is the one you need here. Get this signature. Right. They'll use the template if you put it on there. But they don't want to present, they go through all that stuff. They're like, you want the mid-grade? Okay, click here to sign here. So ServiceTitan will actually check to see if they're presenting it to the customer in the home or not, which is hilarious because you can catch them. I had a company that I walked into. I was like, do you know that 2% of the time your people are actually showing the estimate to the customer before getting it signed? Did you know that? And they're just like, lost it.
Mind blown.
You know, it's all in Titan Advisor. I check it out. It'll tell you like how many times they write an estimate up at all, what percentage of the time they offer multiple estimates, and what percentage of time they actually show it to the customer. All that stuff's in Titan Advisor to give you information. It'll check how often your people are clocking out for their lunch break and if they're skipping it and if they're getting meal penalties, that kind of stuff. Like that's the stuff that really I think is like untapped. And it's just such a thing. It's built for business owners to be able to know what they are and are not using and what's available to them.
I'm just blown away that there's six different types of toilets. I thought for sure there was only one or two.
This is going to be no surprise to you, Tom, but Paul loves the toilets, like with the bidet. Can you just
I have to have
forever.
Several toilets in my fountain. House because I'm full of it. Yeah.
And there you go. All right. We're circling the drain here. Okay. So this next question well is played. Kind of a weird statement and definitely a weird question, but I want you, we're going to wear your owner operator hat, your investor hat, and your software guy hat all at different times.
Okay.
So as an owner operator, an investor, you have to have a certain perspective on the state of multiples right now, right? For those businesses.
Yeah.
And as a software guy, you're clearly in tune with what multiples look like for software companies, right?
Yeah.
Which I'd like you to share and teach our listeners.
Yeah.
Is there a world in the future as contractors become more tech enabled where a valuation of a contracting business could look a lot like a valuation of a software business? So maybe explain the two differences and let's talk about what that looks like in the future.
Yeah. So as many of you know, when you're going to sell your contracting business, it used to be very heavily, you know, pushed towards memberships. I mean, it's not really something that, sure, investors love memberships. They kind of expect it, but it's not nearly, you know, Ron Smith wrote his book, HVAC Spells Wealth, back in the day, and memberships is the big thing. And that's how they value companies. How many memberships do you have? That's, it's, you know, if you were selling a franchise, usually that's how what they wanted. I've been a sell side consultant for multiple people selling their businesses. I've been a buy side consultant, helping private equity firms buy businesses. I have sold businesses of my own. People don't know, like I've sold businesses in weird industry. I own the California Autism Center, for crying out loud. Just weird stuff. Yeah, we could go down that road. But the bottom line is that nowadays in contracting, the big thing is EBITDA and a multiple of your EBITDA, your earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization. And they care about memberships, but not, honestly, there's been a few sales that it didn't even come up in the conversation, which is really funny. Way different than it was 15 years ago.
Right.
Sure. We sell memberships. What percentage of, you know, jobs are membership jobs, and that's it. They move on to the next question. Anyway, and typically investors give you a multiple of that EBITDA. Now, if you're growing faster, they typically will give you a higher multiple of that EBITDA because they know that the next year you're going to have even more earnings than you did this year, or they don't know, but they believe. Now, you're basically looking at profit. In the SaaS industry and software, you're looking at a multiple of revenue, which would be crazy awesome in our industry if we get that point, right? Like anyone who owns a business is like, oh my gosh, I did $1 million of revenue and I want 10 times revenue for my business is $10 million. Like that doesn't happen in contracting today. I will say though, and you guys had Ken Goodrich on the other day and they talked about this a little bit, but,
maybe they did, maybe they didn't.
That's yeah. Right. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't.
And you know, we talked a lot about how building in, tech enabled things into the business and making the business tech enabled has gotten investors a little bit more excited. And it happens in every industry. If you can show this tech enabled piece that shows like, hey, we're making it easier to, I don't know, sell jobs, fix air conditioners, diagnose things, whatever, in a more efficient way because we have tech that other people don't have, or we've used the tech we have better than anyone else. Usually they're willing to pay a little higher multiple. They're looking at, wow, we can scale this better. That's why software gets multiples on revenue. It's not because of, oh, they just don't like air conditioning and plumbing or garage door or whatever. It's because they know that they can take a software company and scale it much easier. It's all about scale. And when they scale it, they don't have to worry as much about, you know, costs of revenue, like paying for more equipment, paying for labor, paying for everything else. So the more tech enabled we get in our industry, the more those multiples, at least from what I've seen, have been increasing. If you look at the multiples now, by the way, versus what the multiples were 20 years ago in our industry, 10 years ago, when I bought my company, I would have been stoked to get a 5x multiplier on my EBITDA. Stoked. I would have loved it. Now, if I don't get an 8 or a 9 or a 10 times EBITDA or 11 or 12, like I'm frustrated. Everyone's saying this is a bubble, it's going to burst, it might, but the reality is I've never seen multiples like this in the industry. We had big roll-ups back in the day with Blue Dot and Service Experts and everything, and they became publicly traded companies, and they got big multiples and then they crashed. We don't know what's going to happen. I can't project that. But what I can say is that as I can clearly see that as tech gets into this industry and gets stronger, I can also see that that consolidation is happening, that people are getting much higher multiples for their businesses. So do I think it's going to get to the point where, you know, you can sell for a multiple of revenue in the future? Probably not. Definitely not like the multiples we're seeing in the SaaS space right now. Software as a service, as Chris pointed out. But yeah, it's, I would definitely be focusing on what can I do to become tech enabled, and don't stop it. Like, I'm not telling you just invest in service tech and you're gonna get a better multiple. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is go the extra mile. Sure. Invest in service tech and invest in, you know, integrating things more effectively. There's integrations with service tech that you could be using that could make your, you know, system better, that have, that don't generate any money for service tech. I'm fine with that. Like, just do what you have to do to make sure that you can become as profitable as possible, but also as scalable as possible if you're looking at selling your business.
I'm going to throw out a plug real quick too, because, you know, a lot of our, because we have so many Service Titan, like we have so many mutual customers between Rhino and Service Titan, that I love that they have the API feed that pulls the revenue into the dashboard so we can legit see what a return on investment was every month for every customer that utilizes Service Titan. So,
well, yeah, in that case, and by the way, and just so we're clear on this one, because this is coming up in the webinar I'm doing tomorrow. This
tomorrow.
Podcast will be out after this happens, but we're talking about the API. Now, for those listeners that are calling in and don't know what an API is, API is basically a way, it's a key to the back door of your data. And if you're on Service Titan, you can have access to your data whenever you want, and you can request an API key. It basically says, here you can get in. That way, not everyone can get into your data.
Correct.
And once you have an API key, you can develop all kinds of cool stuff if you have a developer or if there's a third party system out there. I mentioned like Schedule Engine works well with Service Titan right now. There's several others. DataCube, Ishmael's thing is out there. I would like to point out I have no investment in either of those companies in any way. I'm not plugging them for something like that. Rhino has, yes,
producer.
Rhino has basically API keys that they can use to look at your data. You can give them a key to do it. Now, what we want to do is build out that API as strong as possible. It has one of the strongest APIs I've seen. It has a long way to go though. So we're coming out with version 2 of the API, which is coming out actually right now.
That's huge.
Got it in beta testing. They'll have a lot more access to a lot more things. And we want to make it so that developers can make all kinds of cool stuff that we haven't built yet. And so if you look at like Apple, you know, they allow, here's my phone. Like I am a big fan. And I've got all kinds of apps on there that third-party developers have made that do really cool things. We are trying to open that up. We don't want to compete with those people that are making third-party apps. We want them to be able to make apps and feel comfortable with it and get all the data they can. Now, there's going to be times where we have to make something that might compete with them because it's in our best interest as a business. One of the things that we are launching right now is our online web scheduler. We launched one in 2015. It was one of the first in the industry where you could book directly online. It was amazing. It's outdated and old and needs to be upgraded. We've been working on it for about 4 months now. We're releasing it this month into beta and general probably next month or January. We're talking about that in the webinar, so I'm not getting in trouble by legal for that. Schedule Engine has its own too, and they're a third-party developer. We don't want to compete with Schedule Engine and fight with them, but what we want to do is make it easier for them to also have something in there so you can choose to use them if you'd like. In this case, Schedule Engine also has a third-party call center. We have no interest in getting into, at least at this point, becoming a third-party call center.
I don't blame you.
So, you know, we keep in contact with those third-party developers, but we want to make it as easy as possible for them to build whatever they need.
Been there, done that, never doing it again.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. All right. So that is super helpful. Thank you. Along the lines of product, do you have anything coming out by definition of lead gen, marketing, growth, anything to make the phone ring?
Ooh, I can't wait to hear this. I didn't see that on my list here.
I will record this right now. And then can I like get permission from product to tell you guys this? And if they say no, you have to edit it out?
Yes, of course. 100%. And the Panthers already lost to the Cardinals by the time this I'm traveling.
Okay. We have something really cool. coming out that we've been working on, gosh, probably a year now, that will be released in Service Titan Leads. So what will happen is that your leads on, let's say, Google will be integrated into Service Titan. We actually already have this in beta and testing on a few things. It will check your capacity in Service Titan. It will monitor which ads are performing the best and automatically start turning off the lowest performing ads as your capacity starts to fill up. Once your capacity is completely full, it'll shut off your ads so that you're not paying for ads when you don't need any more calls. As your board starts opening up and space starts coming, it'll start turning ads on as necessary in order, and it'll start with the top performing ads first in order to fill up your space, basically your most inexpensive ones. Yeah, it's something that we're pretty proud of. And there's a whole lot of stuff along those lines. We also have built our own algorithms around with the data that we have to figure out which customers to target, where to target them, what addresses they should be going to, what IP addresses, those kind of things. All those things have been in process. It's also something we've been working on with the artificial intelligence and data science team on building, which is really cool. A lot of the stuff that is coming out on that is coming out in the next probably 6 months or so.
That's cool.
Got it. That's exciting stuff.
That is cool.
And keep in mind on this one, we want companies like yourselves and others and third parties to become certified to help with this. We have what's called a Service Titan Certified Partner Program, where you can go in, let's say you're just releasing. Chris, telling you about it right now.
Don't fucking wait on me. I'm should be number one over. Don't even let Ishmael try to talk you into like, we're better. We're bigger.
You can get on there and basically become a certified Service Titan Certified Administrator.
Say it again. One more time.
Service Titan Certified Partner, where you can go on there and say, okay, I'm really good at, let's say I'm going to get certified in marketing. And now you're listed, and Service Titan would list you off as a marketing agency that's certified by Service Titan as someone who's proficient in Service Titan and can speak well enough to the product that we can rest assured that when you're working with Service Titan users that you know how to get through the app and help them with their things. And yeah, we have them listed on our website. Just started this program, piloting it with a couple. And I don't even know if we have any marketing agencies on there, Chris, so we can talk to you about it. But we want marketing agencies and other agencies that really know this stuff well, coaches, trainers, whatever, to be certified in all kinds of things, accounting, marketing, and on, so that when they say, hey, I want someone that knows Service Titan really well, that'd be helping with me with my stuff. I get that all the time. Tom, can you come to my office? I'm like, oh, gosh, like yeah. I used to own a company that I used to consult for, and we were booked out like 6 months to a year sometimes. And it's just, it's crazy. So we want to do is we want to enable everyone else to be able to do that really quickly. And then they can, we want them to be able to charge the customer directly, work with them directly. It's their own relationship. We just want to make sure that they have some level of proficiency in the product before we start promoting them as a certified partner.
Yeah, mark my word on this. One, you're creating jobs, which is awesome. And you're not capturing the direct value of the fee, but you're building value everywhere with that. But mark my word, there's someone listening to this, maybe not listening to this, but there's someone that's a power user at a plumbing company in Omaha that makes just over minimum wage, right? Who can very, very well be a millionaire if she takes these skills and offers that as a service to contractors.
Here's the funny thing. We don't want to rob from our customers.
Who doesn't use Service Titan?
Just so we're clear. We do, in this case, to become a certified partner, you have to be a third party consulting company to start with. Yep. We are launching, and this is in beta right now. Also, these are some things that we started a while ago when I got here asking for another program, which is the Service Titan Certified Administrator. So that gal in Omaha, hopefully what we want to do for her, she's a dispatcher, let's say, or maybe she's a service manager. We want to give a bunch of classes and trainings in there to get certified and have a little badge that will show up and say, I'm a certified administrator. It's in testing right now. I think we have like 15 people going through it. And a business owner could send their person to become a certified administrator. Now it's all remote, so you can do it right online anytime you want. You can take the classes and take the tests. and they'll be learning all those things as they go. Now, hopefully that person is going to help that business grow and get bigger. Yeah. And hopefully they're not going to make $15 an hour anymore or $10 an hour. Hopefully they're going to make $30 an hour or $40 an hour because their business is so profitable and amazing. Because with ServiceTime, what we realize is, gosh, selling a new company on ServiceTime, it's expensive. We got most of the people on here are business owners. You've got to pay commission to the salesperson. You've got to onboard that client. You've got to do all these things. For us, we would much rather make sure that that company is as successful as possible because they're going to hire more people. Because guess what? You know how cheap it is for us when you hire a new technician and give them an iPad? Like,
right.
It's cost us almost nothing and you're adding revenue to us and right. yourself.
Yep.
Right? So we want to make it as easy as possible for you to grow your business, not just idealistically. We lined up our incentives with yours. We want you to be the most profitable, the biggest company in the world because you're going to have the most technicians and we charge per technician. So.
Got it. All right. We're going to wrap up here for the sake of time. I know you've been very generous. I want to,
We're almost an hour into this.
Two more questions. A lot of attention on ServiceTitan. You've got a lot of users. I'm in some of the groups and I see the constant product feedback that's coming in and your team does such a good job with it. Do you ever feel as you guys continue to grow and win, do you ever feel that there's a target on your back?
Oh yeah. Anytime you're at the head of the pack, you know, you're gonna have a target.
We get attacked. I love being the target.
Yeah. I mean, I hear people complaining about LeBron James. I'm like, dude, like, let's just be realistic. Okay. I don't care if you're a Jordan fan, a Kobe fan, a LeBron James fan. Like, the guy has skill. I'm not gonna complain. I can't dunk like that. I can't run a team like that. Like, I'm sorry. And I'm a Jordan fan. Like, I grew up in the Jordan years, okay? And no one's going to take Jordan away from me, but I have to give props to LeBron now. But because LeBron is in the position he's in, he's going to take heat. That's part of the game.
Yep.
And we know that the worst possible thing that could possibly happen is ServiceTime gets complacent and thinks that it's on top of the world and owns everything.
100%.
As soon as that happens, they stop developing. The contractor loses, ServiceTime loses, because eventually someone's going to come in and take it from them. Yep. Like, it's going to take it from us. Whatever. I say them. I know I'm part of ServiceTime. It's hard for me. I think as a contractor, I don't think as a ServiceTime software guy.
It comes across.
But so I actually love the competition. There's been so many big competitors out there over the years. And literally every year, there's another one that comes around. You know, one came out in 2017 or 2016. It looked just like ServiceTime, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked very, very similar with almost everything on it. Very similar features and functionalities. I thought, oh my gosh, this is it for ServiceTime. What happened was ServiceTime just doubled down and made more features and bam, that was it.
Gone.
It kept going. So we've got to make sure that there's competition there, that we make sure there's a target on our back. We got to make sure that we respect that and realize that other companies can come in and do it. So we better keep going. We also understand that, like, it's hard to build a software company. You know, when you're spending as much as we're spending on research and development and as much time as it takes, we know how long it takes. It's easier to come in and copy it if you want to, because you don't have to do all the learnings of and building, but I haven't seen very many copies or anything like that, but to be in the front and keep going, like, we got to make sure we do that. It takes extra money to develop and innovate in new ways. And we have to keep doing that.
Complacency has no vacancy. Exactly. I will just say that I used that before. It's so true. I loved hearing you say that. And I feel like, I've been in business now going to my 14th year of doing internet marketing for home services businesses. Like, that's my life. You know that, Tom. Paul knows that. But I feel like every year I've always tried to position myself, and I speak on behalf of me and the company, as the most progressive company. Like, I'm always trying to find the new things. Like, you know, and I had a meeting yesterday. I'm going to name drop here for just a second, but this is for the sake of the conversation. But I had like a quick 30-minute meeting with Gary Vaynerchuk yesterday. I was able to pull some of the team members in to be a part of it. But it's because I don't always have the answers, but I'm always trying to find, like, what am I not paying attention to that I need to pay attention to with the position that I'm in and with the customers that I have or the industry that I serve. So the thing that I think has always worked well for me is I'm never afraid to just keep trying stuff, like new things, and throwing it out there and seeing what works and what doesn't work on behalf of my customers. So complacency has no vacancy is so true. And I feel like I'm 14 years in, I'm still doing it every year. I know that the bigger that we've gotten them in the industry, the bigger our reputation, I think, precedes us. I think we have a phenomenal reputation in the industry for our business. people, like, we are the target. A lot of times we are the target. Now, I've got two targets that I look towards as well. I've got them, but I love being in that position because it keeps me on my toes.
Yeah, that's in the end, your customers benefit the most.
100%.
That's it. Like 100%. In this case, the competition benefits the contractors, period. It's just, you know, what it is.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, thank you for that perspective. And last nugget here, if you could share with us something that our listeners should listen to or read, any new books that have crossed your desk that have got you fired up or excited?
Do you even have time to read books, Tom?
The crazy thing is, I set a goal every year on how many books I'm going to read. I finished 6 this year. So it's definitely not my top, but, you know, the funny thing is, it's not even business related.
Doesn't matter.
But Robert O'Neill, the guy that shot Osama bin Laden, gosh, I forget the name of his book. It's like The Shots That Killed Bin Laden or something like that. And I think that's it.
I'm looking.
We'll reference it. Yeah.
Or The Operator or something like that might be what it's called. But Robert O'Neill, his book, he spoke at Pantheon, Service Titan's big user conference a few years ago.
That's right.
We haven't had one live in a couple of years. And I read that book, blows my mind. Like how many times he had to go into a situation where he was sure he was going to die and he was being sent on a mission, including when he shot bin Laden, they went out and they said, well, if someone's going to blow up this place and have a suicide bomb, it's going to be this guy. Right. So as soon as we land in the front yard and try to storm the door, he's going to blow it up, but we're going to die with him. Like he's not going to get out of this alive. He had to say goodbye to his kids 4 times in his life. He had to say goodbye to his kids knowing that he wasn't going to see him ever again. Somehow he came out alive.
Wow.
And the fact that he made that decision anyway, and that he made the decision based on the fact that it was better for his family and for his country that in this case, bin Laden wouldn't be alive anymore. Like that's just, it just blows my mind to think. I think as business owners, we have to make a decision sometimes. Sometimes we have to fire an employee that's a friend of ours, but we have to think about the fact that like, listen, they may be your friend. In my case, it could have been my wife, which I did have to terminate. It could be your son, your daughter, whatever. But the reality is you've got, in this case, got 115 employees at least. I have 115 families that are depending on me to make the right decision.
Absolutely.
I have 115 families that are going to go down and lose their livelihoods if I let someone mess this up because they're not performing or because they're doing things in their personal life or professional life that could damage the brand. Listen, you've got to make the decision. And reading that book and seeing him do it on his person, losing his life, I mean, made the decision to lose his life for the better of the country on purpose and then thought about it ahead of time, not in the spur of the moment, like weeks in advance and said, I'm going to get on the plane anyway. Wow.
Ultimate sacrifice. It's called The Operator. Everything. You're right. It's called The Operator.
The Operator. There we go.
Yeah. All ultimate right. sacrifice. Listeners. You, man, you hit like a nerve. I loved hearing you say that. Did you notice his whole demeanor change a little bit when he starts talking about how he's responsible for 115 families? Dude, that is like something I talk about all the time is I feel that obligation not only for my own staff, but also my customers and their staff. I feel the burden. Like if somebody's giving us money to try and help grow their business, I can either grow it or hurt it. You know, so I take that and I take it very serious. So I carry that with me, but I gladly carry that with me. But the Robert O'Neill story is like next level ultimate sacrifice. That's what I love about like the whole mental fortitude thing of everything. We got to do a podcast with this guy named James Lawrence, Iron Cowboy, which will be coming out. It'll be our 100th episode, which will be mid-December. And this dude did 100 full-distance triathlons in 100 consecutive days. I never even heard of the dude. And then I went and did a keynote, and I was like, you did what? It was amazing.
Dude, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
I watched his, yeah.
We had him on, and when he gave his keynote and I'm listening to him, I'm like, this is incredible. Like, it wasn't like it was just mental. Like, he was physically shutting down, and how you can kind of work through that is so intriguing to me. But when you're talking about death, that's a whole different story.
Yeah. All right,
Paul, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Thank you so much for your time. This is a pretty long one. Who knows? It may end in 2 episodes. But Chris, why don't you leave us on a positive note? Share what one of our listeners says about listening to the To The Point podcast.
Yeah, sure. So, thank you, Paul. And ironically, we are recording this on November the 10th. So we have Veterans Day coming up. So appropriately throwing out that book there. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. So review, here we go. Great podcast. Exclamation point. Five stars. Love these interviews, especially with ones with guys named Tom Howard who have fired his wife. No, I'm kidding. That part's not in there. Love these interviews and the marketing strategies that those guys share. Great stories telling about the HVAC agency. Good stuff. And the name of this person, Paul, is called Pretzel.
Interesting.
Pretzel, interesting. Thank you so much for your kind review. We really appreciate that. Seriously, like, we really do love that type of stuff. Tom, dude, thanks for coming on again. I think we're about a little over an hour into it, but that's what happens, man. When you got a bunch of buddies sitting here chit-chatting and it goes down a path, you just go. You just go.
Thanks, guys.
It is a lot of good info, man. But thanks again for coming back on, brother. I'm sure this won't be the last time.
All right. Thank you. We'll see ya.
TP. Thanks, TP. Good job, bro. Good job on the questions, man. I loved it. And then and listeners, man, like, we're so extremely grateful that you continue to come back and listen and keep subscribing. It's been really cool to see the back half of this year, like, a nice spike in subscriptions and listeners and podcast streams. And so everybody's either really getting ready for next year, so they're listening more frequently or what, or maybe it's just our guests are just keep getting better and better. I don't know what it is, but we're certainly grateful. So until next time, we'll see you.